There's something about a baseball park after dark. When the lights go out, when the crowd disappears, when the vendors close up and the last echo of take me out to the ball game drifts into silence. What's left behind? Wood and steel, concrete and grass, and if the stories are true, something else. Tonight, we're stepping into the shadows of America's pastime. We're walking the concourse long after the final out. We're sitting alone in the empty grandstands. We're listening for footsteps in dugouts that should be deserted, because this is an episode about haunted baseball parks. Welcome to the Ominous Archives. I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
I'm very excited about this episode.
Yeah, you've been really getting into the whole baseball scene over the last like year or so.
I have 3 years. Give me a three year give or take.
3 years.
Yeah, I remember saying to you a little while ago, I was like, you think that would be good enough to do an episode on? I was like, you think I could come up with enough information? There's always enough information if you look. There's always something to look for if it's there.
Somebody always left a Ouija board open somewhere.
Always. We literally said in the last episode, Nick and a Ouija board, he's always going to find something.
You can relate it. It's there somewhere.
Always.
Somebody did it.
So baseball is old. Not just historically old, but emotionally old. It's layered. Generational. Fathers and daughters, mothers and sons, grandparents who remember players whose names are now etched in bronze. Ballparks aren't just buildings, they're memory machines. And when you pack over a century of triumph, heartbreak, and obsession, and ritual into a single patch of land, maybe some of it lingers. Tonight, we're going to explore some stories from parks where security guards refuse to work alone, groundskeepers hear phantom games in the middle of the night, players report feeling watched from empty seats. Let's start in Chicago. Wrigley Field is known as the Friendly Confines, but some say that friendliness has a spectral side. Built in 1914, which is just insane. Like, that's how old.
It's
so crazy.
It goes to show you how, like, old baseball is and, like, how...
Like, it really is.
Timeless stadiums can be.
Yep.
Because I'm sure that it's been updated
since
1914.
Right.
But it's just that stadium is just timeless. Same thing, like, with a lot of these parks we're going to be touching on today.
Yeah.
And there's just that timeless... You were talking about it in the beginning, and I was just sitting there thinking, and I was like, man, I remember the game in 08 when we were there and the Phillies clinched. They didn't even clinch yet. But we all saw on the out-of-town scoreboard that the Mets were down, like, 11-2 in the bottom of the seventh. And, like, the stadium just erupted because we knew that was it. Like,
right.
We were locking up the division.
Yeah.
And the rally towels came out. And, like you said, they're just memories.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many that you can just go. You go and you never know what you're getting.
Literally. So the ballpark has survived 2 World Wars, the Great Depression, night game debates, heartbreak seasons, and finally, after 108 years, a World Series victory that felt almost mythic. For decades, the Chicago Cubs were synonymous with longing, with curses, with ghosts of what could have been, and maybe that is part of it. Security personnel over the years have reported strange activity during overnight shifts. Footsteps on the upper concourse when no one is there, cold spots in press areas, doors opening and closing in still air. Honestly, I feel like just being a groundskeeper at, like, a ballpark alone, working at night, that's spooky enough. Like, that big of a place, like, there's only a select few people.
There's something about the bigness of the building and you being, like, a little person in that building, and you're just like, there's a whole lot of grounds here.
Yeah.
Like, who knows?
Whole lot of grounds. The most persistent legend involves a former groundskeeper who supposedly died in the early 20th century after dedicating his life to the field. Some say his presence still lingers near the dugouts and along the baseline, protective and watchful. One guard described hearing the unmistakable crack of a bat around 2 a.m. He checked the field. Empty. No wind, no animals, just silence and the smell of freshly cut grass. There are also stories tied to the long drought years. Some fans believe the heartbreak itself created a kind of emotional residue, which it definitely does. Like, I feel like that's not, like, It definitely does. After devastating losses, staff would report heavy, almost oppressive atmospheres in the clubhouse, like disappointment had weight. And when the Cubs finally won the World Series in 2016, several longtime employees claimed something felt lighter, as if what had been waiting had finally exhaled. Was it just collective relief, or did something finally just move on?
It'd be wild if it did. Something just kind of...
Like, that's the thing with, like, curses, too. I feel like there's a lot of... And I don't really, like, touch on, like, the curses too much. Like, I feel like we're not going to touch on them too much. But that's also a thing that I truly do believe in.
Yeah. Well, it was funny, too, because with Philly...
Yeah.
We didn't win a championship in years, and then all of a sudden, I think it was a Comcast building got...
Yes.
...put up, and they put a little William Penn on top of it.
The highest and then, building in Philadelphia.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it was like World Series.
Yep.
They're not, what, yeah, it was World Series.
I thought it was when we won the Super Bowl, was it?
No.
No?
Okay. No, he was up there World Series. Well, you'd have to look when the Comcast building was built, but I'm almost positive it was a World Series.
That's insane.
And it was a couple, it was, might have been like a couple years after or something like that.
All right, well, we're not having the best of luck, so let's put him up there again.
I'd think he's still up there. It'd be a bad idea to take him down.
Seriously.
I mean, we did just win the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
This is true.
Or last year? Yeah, I guess it's last year.
Technically.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to head east to the infamous Fenway Park. This park was built in 1912 and is the oldest Major League Baseball stadium still in use.
Insane.
It, yeah.
1912.
You went from what?
14, I think.
1914 to 12. Yeah, I mean, it's 2 years older. But
like, still. Mm-hmm. It's just so crazy.
Yeah. And if walls could talk, Fenway would be a Jabberjaws.
Yeah.
It survived the curse of the Great Bambino. It witnessed wars, cultural revolutions, and countless ninth-inning dramas. Its green monster has seen it all, and some say it's seen more than it should. Security guards have long shared stories of hearing crowd noises during off hours, not faint echoes, distinct rising cheers, the kind that swell when a home run clears the wall. But when they check in the stands, empty. More unsettling are reports from the visiting clubhouse corridor. Staff members have described doors rattling without wind, lockers clanging shut, and the eerie sensation of someone standing behind them. One particularly persistent story centers around a former groundskeeper who allegedly passed away after decades of service. Workers say that if the tarp isn't properly secured before a storm, strange things happen. Equipment goes missing, tools are moved. A cart once rolled across the warning track without anyone pushing it, as if someone were still tending to the field. Players, too, have mentioned odd feelings. A few have described looking up during batting practice and momentarily thinking that they saw someone seated high above, just one solitary figure in an otherwise empty stadium. Then, blinking, and it's gone. Is it the imagination? Or the mind playing tricks in a place soaked in history? Or is the game never truly over at Fenway?
I think that as a player, if I was sitting, like, literally just, like, taking a batting practice and, like, my eyes started playing, like, those kind of tricks on me, I'm like, all right, I need to, like, go do something and come back, because what do you mean?
I don't even think I'd notice. I'd think I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's a person up there, okay, and then I would just keep going.
Yeah, you're just going to keep going.
I wouldn't even think about it being, like, a ghost or something like that. Now, if all of a sudden they disappeared, if they were in the middle of the thing and, like...
Right.
In between swings, all of a sudden they're gone, maybe it'd be like, that's kind of weird, mm-hmm. but it honestly wouldn't even dawn on me.
He's too locked in.
Yeah.
So, when people talk about hauntings at Yankee Stadium, they're usually blending two places into one legend. The original Yankee Stadium, the house that Ruth built, and the current stadium built across the street in the Bronx. Most of the ghost lore is tied to the original park, though stories have followed the franchise into the new building. Let's separate some folklore from documented history. The most persistent legend claims that Babe Ruth never really left the house that Ruth built. Which, honestly, if I was Babe Ruth, I'm not leaving either.
Like, I'd hang out.
Get me out of here. Drag me out. By my, I don't care. No.
By my spiritual...
Yeah. I'm staying
whatever
here.
Whatever it is. Like, ectoplasm.
Absolutely not. Anecdotal reports from stadium workers and visiting players described the smell of cigar smoke in empty corridors, which, yeah, I'm also going to contribute that to Babe Ruth, duh, a shadowy figure near Monument Park, and a feeling of being watched from the upper deck. There is no verified paranormal investigation confirming these experiences. Most accounts appear in sports radio telling, fan memoirs, Halloween-themed newspaper features, and paranormal blogs. But culturally, the legend makes sense. Ruth is inseparable from the stadium's identity. In folklore and supernatural theory, iconic figures often become attached to places symbolically, and over time, symbol becomes story. Monument Park in the original stadium, and now recreated in the new one, honored Yankee legends Ruth, Gehrig, DiMaggio. Some tour guides and staff have reportedly described cold spots near the plaques, which is crazy, unexplained camera malfunctions, the sensation of someone standing just behind you. Again, these are anecdotal and not formally documented in academic or investigative reports, but Monument Park is a ritual space. Anthropologists describe memorial areas as liminal zones, places between past and present. People often report heightened emotion or sensory awareness in such areas, which can be interpreted as supernatural. The new Yankee Stadium, opened in 2009, is modern, climate-controlled areas, updated infrastructure, advanced lighting, yet ghost stories followed the move. Some reported experiences include overnight cleaning crews hearing footsteps, equipment doors opening unexpectedly, cold drafts in enclosed areas. None of these have been confirmed through formal investigation, and importantly, large stadiums are acoustically complex. Temperature changes cause metal to contract, air pressure shifts create airflow, and concourses amplify sound unpredictably. Infrasound, low-frequency vibration, has been studied for producing sensations of unease or presence. Large structures can generate it naturally. Yankee Stadium is not just a ballpark. It's a myth engine. The franchise identity is wrapped in dynasty, legacy, immortality. When a team refers to its legends as eternal or forever Yankees, it feeds a narrative of ongoing presence. Cultural theorists would argue ghost stories aren't about fear here. They're about continuity. Saying Babe Ruth still walks the concourse is another way of saying this legacy doesn't die.
If there's going to be a sports team, too, that's packed with...
Oh, 100%. How many... I feel like it's... I think it was Aaron Judge who has said literally so many times that he swears that there's ghosts in the outfield. Like, he swears he feels, like, some kind of vibe in the outfield.
Yeah, I also like the fact, too, that they had the... And I think they put the names on the jerseys now. My brain's fogging right now. I like the classic, like, no-name jerseys. It always reminded me, we had a lacrosse coach one time where after we scored a goal and we had all this, like, big celebrating and stuff like that, he literally looked at us and was like, act like you've been here before. Like, you know, and it just goes to the kind of, like, you play for the team on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back.
Right.
So when you take the name away, I feel like it gives it that, like, team thing, you know? That's just me personally.
Yeah.
But now we're going to head to the Polo Grounds. They're no longer standing. They were demolished in 1964. The once iconic New York Stadium hosted baseball, football, and boxing. Legends walked all over that field. But even after demolition, the stories persisted. Construction workers involved in clearing the site reportedly felt uneasy. Tools would vanish. Machinery malfunctioned. Some claimed to hear what sounded like a distant crowd when no one was around. Neighbors in the years following demolition reported odd sounds late at night, like cheers carried on in the wind that didn't exist. One former resident claimed that on humid summer evenings, if you stood in just the right spot, you could hear the faint echo of an organ playing. Perhaps that's just nostalgia, or perhaps certain places resist being erased. I would agree. I would think.
Fully agree.
Mm-hmm. And there's something, the Flyers brought the organ back a couple years ago, and that's, I love the,
I think
the like,
sick.
Actual
it's,
organ.
It's nostalgic.
Yeah. Brings you way back to, to, like, the classic sports. Now we'll move on to League Park in Cleveland, which opened in 1891.
Yeah, you want to talk about...
What a year.
Yeah.
It hosted legends Cy Young, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and Babe Ruth. Though much of it was demolished, parts of the structure still stand. Visitors and maintenance crews have reported shadowy figures near the old ticket office, cold spots near the grandstand remnants, and what sounds like a game in progress, murmurs, distant applause, the thud of a ball in a mitt, which is a classic sound. There's nothing that says summer like when a ball hits a mitt. A local historian once recounted bringing recording equipment to the park after hours. During playback, there were faint rhythmic claps, almost like someone keeping score. No one else was there. The site has long been associated with deep emotional resonance. Generations of Cleveland fans experienced both joy and decades of frustration within its boundaries. Maybe that emotional investment doesn't disappear when the lights do. Which I think is totally true.
Yeah.
Thinking of, like, the times where, like, Game 7 when we lost Arizona.
Don't remind me.
The emotion shifts.
No, like, actually don't remind me. I have lifelong beef with the Diamondbacks because of it, and I'm not even joking.
I have lifelong beef with the Phillies for not being able to hit anything but a long ball.
Them too. Them too.
We hit home runs.
Yeah. Next, we move on to Dodger Stadium.
Boo.
Which is modern compared to the others. It opened in 1962, carved into Chavez Ravine. It's bright, iconic, and filled with Southern California sunshine. But even here, stories circulate. Night security teams have described seeing a solitary man in outdated clothing seated in the left field pavilion. When approached, he vanishes. There are also tales from clubhouse attendants of lockers opening unexpectedly, showers turning on briefly, and the sensation of being observed. One longtime employee claimed after particularly emotional games, especially playoff losses, the stadium feels different. Heavy, he said, like the air is thicker. And then there are whispers tied to the land itself. Chavez Ravine was once home to communities displaced during the stadium's construction. Some believe the spiritual unrest predates baseball entirely. Is the haunting about the game or the ground beneath it? Which I think is also a crazy theory. But it's not just the big, historic, major ballparks. Minor league stadiums, often older, more intimate, have some of the most chilling accounts. In one southern ballpark built in the 1920s, groundskeepers refused to enter the storage tunnel alone at night. I honestly would probably do the same, but...
Whether the park's haunted or not.
That's neither here nor there. They've reported hearing a baseball bounce repeatedly in the dark, with no ball present. In another Midwest stadium, the scoreboard lights allegedly flick on briefly after midnight. Electricians have inspected the wiring, and nothing's wrong. And, in a small-town park in Pennsylvania, multiple umpires have described hearing someone call strike from the stands during quiet moments of the games.
That's a tough one.
Right, that one's kind of... that could be somebody who's just... You're in Philly,
that,
I don't
know. That
kind
of reminds me of the Happy Gilmore. Yeah. You're going to miss this part.
Yep, uh-huh.
Like, if there's people there, I don't know.
Right.
If you're saying, like, you were there like, warming up or something like that and getting used to it, I'll give it to you, but that's a tough one.
There is something about smaller parks. Fewer people, less noise, the silence has more room to grow. And, in silence, imagination thrives. Or maybe something else does.
So why does baseball, more than any other sports, seem to attract ghost stories? Think about its rhythm. Baseball is slow. There are pauses, long stretches of quiet anticipation, time to look around, time to think. Time for the memory to creep in. Football is explosive. Basketball is constant motion. Hockey is relentless speed. Baseball breathes. And in those breaths, people feel things. It's also deeply tied to nostalgia. Summer evenings, radio broadcasts, the smell of popcorn, the hum of the cicadas beyond the outfield. When someone becomes that emotionally intertwined with childhood, family, and identity, the idea of it lingering beyond death feels almost natural. Of course, Grandpa still sits in section 312. Of course, the old groundskeeper still checks the tarp. Of course, the former owner still watches the ninth inning. The game doesn't end for them. It just quietly continues. Which, like, when you think about it, it's so true. And I know I'm a big sports person in general.
Yeah.
But there's something about baseball that I feel everybody gets. And yep. I think it's because it can be, and I think it is, like, probably the more affordable one.
Yeah.
To play. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can find leagues all over the place.
Yeah.
I know basketball is the same, kind of like the same way, but I feel there is that in this, like that patience and everything. Yeah. It really helps you develop like the core memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to Sixers, not that we've had much to look at, but like the big thing I only remember is the Iverson stomp.
Yeah.
And since then it's been, there's nothing but like, in between the Phillies championships, there's just memories that I had going to CBP and hanging out and just that place.
Yeah. Right, like, even still, like, as a kid going, like, obviously I didn't care about baseball. Like, I did, even still, though, like, I got it. Like, I got why everybody, like, had this feeling mm-hmm. of, like, wait, this is, like, so, yeah.
Yeah, the summer, mean. The smell of the hot dogs, yeah. The peanuts, the singing, the, you know.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, you can almost just, like, smell it. Mm-hmm. Like, you just feel it.
Yeah. There is another explanation, too. Ballparks are designed for noise, for tens of thousands of voices blending into one roaring organism. When that sound vanishes, the emptiness feels unnatural. Acoustics play tricks. Metal contracts, wood pops, wind funnels through corridors, and mimics whispers. Our brains, wired for pattern recognition, fill in gaps. A shadow becomes a figure, an echo becomes applause, especially in places where we expect drama. Expectation is powerful. If you walk into an empty stadium at 2 a.m., already knowing the legends, every sound feels amplified. And yet, some experiences are harder to dismiss. Multiple witnesses describing the same figure, security cameras catching movement with no visible cause, staff who don't believe in ghosts until they work one overnight shift. One former groundskeeper, who asked to remain anonymous, shared his experience from a historic northeastern ballpark. He was alone, finishing up after a late rain delay. It was nearly 1:30 a.m. Those are the worst. Mm-hmm. Those are literally, and I imagine how, like, I don't ever really think about the poor groundskeepers and, like, the poor people, like, the staff. Because
they're earlier than earlier than everybody, and they're there later than everybody. Although, like, I would love to be a grounds crew.
Really?
I would love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would also enjoy it.
Just, I don't even care. Downpouring rain, I have to run the tarp out, whatever.
Hell yeah.
Cutting the grass, I don't care.
Right.
Like, I mean, I know they have, like, it's, like, down to a science now with, like, cutting the grass and everything, but, I mean, you tell me how to do it, I'll do it. I don't care.
So this night, he swears he heard a child laughing. Not echoing, not distant, close. He stepped out from the dugout and looked up into the stands. Empty rows. Dark seats, no movement. Then, clear as day, he heard a ball land in a glove. Pop. He froze. Another pop. And then silence. He left early that night and requested day shifts from that night on. So, let's step back. Are these truly ghosts, residual energy, psychological projection, or simply stories passed down because baseball, perhaps more than any other sport, invites myth? Baseball has always loved its legends. The called shot, the curse, the miraculous comeback. It's a sport built on storytelling. So maybe haunted stadium tales are just the natural evolution of the tradition. Every generation adds a layer. Every late night guard adds a whisper. Every unexplained noise becomes part of the lore. And in doing so, the stadium becomes more than architecture. It becomes alive.
Baseball parks are like temples. They hold joy, grief, triumph, heartbreak. And sometimes, when the lights flicker and the wind moves just right, it's easy to believe that the past hasn't entirely left. Maybe the ghosts aren't spirits in the traditional sense. Maybe they're memories so strong they take shape. Maybe they're the emotional fingerprints of a generation who cared deeply. Or maybe, just maybe, some games truly never end. The next time you stay late after a ball game, linger for a moment. If you hear a faint cheer when no one's there, don't be afraid. It might just be the echoes of the game. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, make sure to follow us on all of our social medias, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone else who loves baseball just like you, and also who loves a good mystery. Make sure you also go out and check out our team member Sam's podcast and blog over at Scare Me Sam. She does amazing work for us and over on her own personal blog and podcast. So until next time, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.